And welcome back to Midday, our first show of 2026. Thanks for joining us. I'm Matt Bush, the news director at WIPR. Filling in today for Tom Hall. He'll be back tomorrow. This past Saturday, Americans woke up to the news of a large-scale U.S. military operation in Venezuela, which captured the country's leader, President Nicolas Maduro, and his wife. They were then flown out of the country to the United States. Maduro is set to appear this hour in court in New York City for drugs and weapons charges. This comes after months of escalation from the White House, including strikes on boats carrying alleged drug traffickers across the Caribbean and the Pacific. Legal scholars, experts from the United Nations, and many others have questioned the legitimacy and legality of these strikes. Here in Maryland, our reporter, WIPR's Scott Malcioni, covered the local reactions to this news on Saturday. He joins me live here in Studio A. Scott, how are you?
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
On the day of the strike Saturday, protesters met at Baltimore City Hall to voice their opposition. You spoke to one of the rally's organizers, Raquel Vaquero.
There is no shortage of needs that the people in the U.S. face. We want these taxpayer dollars to meet people's needs, ultimately, and not destroy other countries on behalf of, in this case, oil executives.
What was the mood like that day at the rally?
Obviously very upset. I think a lot of surprise. This was something that happened just maybe 12, 13, 14 hours after the initial attack. So I think a lot of people woke up to this news. Maryland, as we all know, is a very democratic state. So, you know, many people are usually not on the same side of many of the Trump policies. So the crowd wasn't too large. It was quite a cold day. It was probably maybe 50, 60 people. But we were seeing a lot of signs of, you know, hands off from oil executives, constitutional issues, issues about, you know, sovereignty of nations. So, you know, this almost kind of harkened back to a lot of George W. Bush era kind of feelings, honestly.
It did feel there was a level of deja vu with this. And I think we're going to see that obviously coming out more in the weeks and months ahead. You also spoke to and got reaction from a lot of members of Maryland's congressional delegation in particular. This one here is from Congressman Democrat Johnny Olszewski.
This attack itself is outside the law. It's outside the constitutional authority that rests with Congress. Congress must conduct extensive oversight and demand a lawful, transparent, and realistic strategy for what comes next.
So what else did members of Maryland's delegation have to say?
So Johnny Olszewski, he's on the Foreign Affairs Committee, which is one of the four intelligence committees that gets briefings from the administration on these sorts of things. At the time that I talked to him on Saturday, he had still not been briefed on what is going to be happening. And I think a lot of the Maryland delegation at this point is wondering, what's next? Who is going to be running this country? How is it going to be run? Where, you know, what sort of mission creep is going to be happening in terms of the policies for running this country, and how many American dollars are going to be going toward this? That's largely the sentiment that we've gotten from people like Chris Van Hollen, Angela Alsobrooks, Johnny Olszewski, and Jamie Raskin. Now, the lone Republican in the Maryland delegation, Andy Harris, has said that he applauded the measure and said that it was a way to crack down on narco-terrorism and, you know, drugs within the United States. I did want to note that this is from the New York Times and also from some of the United States' own authorities, that fentanyl, which causes, you know, most of the overdoses in the United States, is almost entirely produced in Mexico using chemicals from China. Also, some of the things that we know about the majority of cocaine bound for the United States does not move through the Caribbean or through Venezuela, but actually through the Pacific. That's according to the Colombian government and the United States and the United Nations. So just as a comparison, the indictment states that Venezuela was shipping between 200 and 250 metric tons of cocaine a year around 2020. That represents only about 10 to 13% of the global cocaine trade. Other countries that play a larger role, 2018, 1,400 metric tons passed through Guatemala. So, you know, if the United States is deciding to kind of crack down on drugs within the United States, this seems like a kind of a bizarre country to pick. And may have more to do with policy and interest in other things.
Including oil reserves, which Venezuela has, certainly. And here at the top of the hour in the NPR newscast, you'll hear more about this. But Nicolas Maduro did make his first appearance in the last hour in court in New York City. And you'll hear more about that throughout the day, not just during the newscast, but also during Here and Now and All Things Considered. Scott is our health reporter, as you was able to maybe tell from his answer there, looking into fentanyl and explaining about drugs that are coming into the United States. He's done a lot of coverage about that, about the opioids that have been coming into Baltimore and the court action. He did a great story on that over the holidays, which I urge everyone, if they haven't, to go back and listen to if they missed it on our website, WIPR.org. There's also health insurance rates, and this is something you were talking about this morning, covering. They are expected to go up in Maryland, and not just in Maryland, but everywhere because of the lapse of the ACA health credits. So how much are they going to go up, and who's going to be impacted by this as the ACA marketplace is still open for another week or so?
That's right. It's open until January 15th, and if you are signing up on in this new year, you will get your insurance on February 1st. If you did it before that, it already started on January 1st. Rates are not only expected, are going up an average of 13.4% on the ACA marketplace. Now, that is just an average. It's lower for Kaiser Permanente, higher for places like United Healthcare. I think the swing is between 7% and about 18%, mm-hmm. Depending on which company you sign up with. There is a multitude of plans that people can choose from on there. Now, this increase is coming from the insurance companies. They had this approved through the Maryland Insurance Administration. And that is because the insurance companies are expecting more people to go to hospitals now because they will not have health insurance. That health insurance lack or expected lack of health insurance is because the premium tax credits from the federal government will be have already expired January 1st. And, you know, there was no plan within Congress to have those, extended. So there's quite a few people that may see either their bills go up or will not be able to afford health insurance this year.
And just to say back to what you said there, that it changes based on how much it's going up by based on who's offering the plans. How many different companies or how many different insurers are still on Maryland's marketplace?
So there's four different plans right now. There's WellPoint, CareFirst, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Kaiser Permanente and United Healthcare. And when I said plans, I meant companies, four different companies mm-hmm. offering a myriad of plans that can go between a bronze and really like kind of platinum levels of sort of things,
right.
Depending on what your deductibles are and how much you want to pay in premiums. So there are still many different options for Marylanders. And also want to note that for people who are in the lower income brackets, there still is a state plan that will help pay for your premiums. So Maryland is trying to help the people who are most vulnerable in this period right now.
Now, something you were covering this morning before you came in here, there were a lot of Maryland elected officials speaking about the plans, trying to get people to sign up for those who haven't yet, and talking about what to do with these healthcare plans going up. Among them was Senator Chris Van Hollen. What did he have to say? What did the others have to say this morning?
Yeah, they're really pushing for a program that Maryland has had for a while now, which is called Check the Box. This is on your tax returns. You can check a box, and some of your tax return information will be shared with the Maryland Health Connection. They will send you a letter in the mail telling you what you're eligible for in terms of discounts or types of insurance. From there, you have 35 days to sign up for health insurance. So this is a way to get health insurance outside of open season, which mm-hmm. is usually from November 1st until now January 15th. So this is just another way for Marylanders to get health insurance. They've been trying their best in recent years to expand the pool of people that have health insurance. One other thing about this is that about 19,000 people have signed up. And it'll also tell you if you're eligible for things like Medicaid or Medicare, which are also important federal programs that help people get insurance.
And again, this is on tax forms. We're getting into tax season now because April 15th is 3 months and 10 days away, but it'll be on us pretty quickly. So there is a box on your state return is what you're saying.
That's correct. Yeah, on your state return, all you have to do is just tick that box and they will automatically send you in the mail this option of what your insurance would be and what you're eligible for.
Cave Health News estimates that the average enrollee who gets their health care through the ACA will see their premiums costs rise by 114% this year. Now, you're saying in Maryland, the plans are on average going up 13%. So this is a national look. That's a lot of money, obviously. You said one of the impacts they're already planning that they already expect. The insurers expect more people are going to be going to hospitals to get care without insurance. So what's the impact of that going to be? And again, locally, you've been talking about what Maryland is trying to do to step in on that. What's Maryland trying to do to fight this?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I will note is that, you know, that 13.4% is just in the ACA plans. So if you have a private plan, it's very likely it could go up, you know, much higher. And I think that's what KFF is trying to kind of encompass in what they're looking at, and that you know, over 100% increase. What we're likely to see is, you know, the Maryland already has the highest ER wait times,
Right.
getting from your ER bed into an admission bed. That's an average around 8 hours right now. Or, I'm sorry, it's actually more than that. Some hospitals are 8 hours, but so at this point, you know, you're likely to see more people in the emergency room because they're not able to go to their general practitioner. That's going to clog the system. It's going to cause higher costs for people who are already in the hospital. We're going to see probably other issues in terms of mental health. You know, people are going, you know, not able to go to a psychiatrist or a therapist, end up once again in, you know, some kind of crisis, and then go to the hospital again. So we're really putting a lot of stress on the infrastructure around here. What Maryland is trying to do at this point is, you know, as I said, they have this program here where they're going to be helping the lower tax brackets, or lower income brackets, excuse me, get as a little bit of relief through this premium tax credit that the state will be offering. From there, you know, it's really kind of a free-for-all. We're going to have to kind of see how things are going. And then don't forget, in 2027 and beyond, there's going to be work requirements for Medicaid and also some other requirements in that realm. So there's going to be even more people losing their health insurance.
And that backs up a lot of things. Just to go back to the real quickly, though, you're mentioning Maryland's long ER wait times, the worst in the country. You've covered this too, and you've done looked at the studies the state has done. Where does it stand in improving that in any way? If, unfortunately, now there are going to be more people going to the hospital just to get not routine care, but more of what we would be seeing as routine or preventative care.
Yeah, the state has what's called EDDI, which is an emergency department task force that's been looking into this. They're working with the Maryland Hospital Association on how they can increase these, or sorry, decrease these times. It's been slow going. It's been going on for a few years now, and we've seen kind of increases and decreases over time. But that is really what they've been trying to do at this point. And it all comes down to a lot of different things, including the healthcare model that Maryland has, which is called the AHEAD model, which is something that is unique to Maryland and has been helpful in some ways in terms of pricing hospitals and procedures in hospitals correctly, but still a little bit of growing pains that the state is going through. And you also have to remember there's a higher number of older people in Maryland, so more people getting admitted. It's really just not completely the hospital's fault, but also the hospital, also the fault of many just sort of demographic and, you know, just statistical issues within the state itself as well.
Scott Massioni is WYPR's health reporter. You can find more of his award-winning coverage on the news page at WYPR.org. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Tom is back. He's going to be talking to Dr. Lena Wynn for Midday Health Watch. Fresh Air is up next here on WYPR. I'm Matt Bush. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year. Have a great day.
What's good? It's Gene Demby from Code Switch. NPR has been hearing a lot from listeners who are pitching in to keep public radio strong after federal funding for public media was eliminated. So you wanted to share some of what folks are saying in their own words.
The following clips are dramatic readings of real public radio donor comments.
You folks cover important local news.
Tiny Desk brought my brother and I together.
The interview I heard today by Michelle Martin was excellent journalism.
Supporters also say that they like that NPR stays above the fray.
You provide the important information without all the drama.
But what we're hearing most, just how important NPR's independent news coverage is in this moment.
Thoughtful, objective news is critical to sustaining our democracy.
It's where I look to find the truth about what is happening in our country.
Add your voice to the growing community of public radio supporters by giving to this station today. And thank you.
Make your gift online at WYPR.org. And thanks for supporting your local NPR news station right here in the Baltimore community. It's a mostly cloudy day here in the area. We have a high around 42. Overnight, still cloudy, a low around 33, and tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a high around 50. Tomorrow night, a low around 41 and overcast. You're listening to 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.